Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for those that you brought out here this morning. We thank you for the plows that are already getting out here this morning on such a wintry day and so much snow on the ground. We thank you for having the municipal infrastructure we have in this city. Lord, we pray that you would bless the service here, that we would glorify you and nourish our hearts as we sing praises and as we dig into your word. We ask that you be with those that are still traveling. We ask that you give them safety on the roads and help them to be able to make it. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And then over to number 363. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. True, heed God's command. Honor them, the faithful few. All hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand. Who for God had bid a host by joining Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Verse 4. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grant. Satan and his host defy and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Then over to number 479. Jesus loves me. 479. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me, loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And then let's sing Amazing Grace. That's a favorite song for many. 236. I know we're not singing Christmas songs, but we will be singing Christmas songs during the morning worship service, and we can pick Christmas songs to our heart's content in the afternoon. Number 236, Amazing Grace. Song 483. Oh, how I love Jesus. 483.
Sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious love, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
483.
It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread the darksome path, the sun shines all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus.
thank you for that good singing. We'll go into our Sunday school at this time, and I guess the children will wait until Miss Hannah arrives. And maybe I can just full bulletins.
Give me 1 second.
So which of the vehicles arrived? Was it the pilot or was it the...
This
would be... Oh, is it... You got a Cherokee or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Well, glad to hear that you made it safely. You're wondering. I didn't expect that folks were going to be able to make it down the hill. How much snow did you have up there?
Probably like 4 or 5
freshmen. Oh, okay. I thought maybe it'd be a foot of snow. Okay, we're going to start off with reading a newsletter here, a Christmas newsletter from the Lend Voice, one of our missionaries, Lake City Baptist Church. They write, "Dear pastors and praying friends, it seems Christmas is almost upon us and a new year to follow. I sometimes marvel at how fast time flies. Are we all doing well? Colton is growing like a weed and eating everything in sight. He is 18 months old now, walking, starting to use a few words, and terrorizing the house." I tell you, that must be a change for the Lend Voice. Tammy is still working at the airport. She's taken over as base manager for the airline she works for, the youngest base manager in the company. She often gets asked, "Can I speak to whoever is in charge, please?" And when she replies, "You are," it is often, "No, really, sweetie, can I speak to whoever's in charge?" We started a discipleship program at the church. After many ideas that did not seem to work, we are using Faith Bible Institute from Roland Road, a Baptist church in Monroe, Louisiana. We had 7 students, both teens and adults, for our first semester, and we have 10 students enrolled for our second semester. My goal is twofold. For some, this material would give them a great chronological overview of both Old and New Testaments, as well as teaching and reinforcing of the doctrinal truths. For others, I'm hoping it will help them understand their faith in a way that they can better express it to others. We have been a whole year in our new building now and are very happy with it. The space is much more usable, and so we praise the Lord for his good hand upon us. Our goal this coming year is to increase outreach. With a discipleship program in place that I feel, at least at this early stage, is successful, we can shift more of our focus to reaching into the community and broadening our reach to the hedges we have not yet effectively. Please pray for us as we endeavor to broaden our reach. Merry Christmas to all of you and Happy New Year. Your servants in Christ, the Lend Voice. So a little note there from them. And just a... read you a quick email here from the WAS. We, as has been our custom for the last number of years, we gave our missionaries a $100 Christmas gift, and Pastor WAS wrote back here. He said, "Dear Pastor WAS and the folks at Rain Baptist Church, our family wants to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the special Christmas offering that you sent us. It came in such a timely fashion, as we have never been so tight in our finances. God knows the needs of his children, and he provides in his time. So once again, thank you all for you, and may you have a blessed Christmas and a Christ-filled year, Pastor Guillaume." I thought you'd enjoy hearing how those little things, sometimes they seem small, but yet it makes a big difference. Okay, well, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 17, please. Proverbs chapter 17. Starting a new chapter here. Okay, Proverbs chapter 17, if you're able to, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll read verses 1 through 3. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than in a house full of sacrifices with strife. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. The finding pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for our missionaries. We think of the Lenovoys up there in Williams Lake. We ask that you would bless them, and the work and the discipleship program, and the renewed outreach, or the going deeper into the hedges, as they said. We pray that you would bless that work, and we pray that they would see many souls saved in that community. Lord, we pray for the Waugh family. We thank you that this gift was useful and helpful. We pray that you would meet all of their needs the way you normally do, richly and supernaturally. And we pray now that you'd be with us to dig into your word. We ask that you would speak to our hearts, and again, we ask for safety for those who are on the roads. And we also pray for Brother John and others who, Brother Kyle, Lord, with his bronchitis or his laryngitis and his ear infection, Lord, we pray that you give him healing. And we just ask for all those that are sick or unable to be here, we pray that you would just lift them up today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I don't know if there's something we can do. I've got a bit of a feedback here, Jeremy. Just kind of a echo. It comes. That's a little better. Now, did it cut me off altogether? Okay. So Proverbs chapter 17. This is an interesting verse here. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. A dry morsel. What does that strike you? To me, that strikes as a dry crust of bread. Something that is not too scrumptious. It's not too extravagant. And it's pretty bare. And there'll be times in our lives when we will have to kind of pare down and be very careful about what we consume, whether it be clothes, whether it be food, those things that we don't necessarily need. A dry morsel. So better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. You know, I remember growing up, we used to have porridge quite a bit, and I've never really been a big fan of porridge, but you know, it's just one of those things you got to do because it's a whole lot cheaper than other forms of cereal. And sometimes, in our family, we like to have waffles once a week. I can have waffles every morning, or crepes, or pancakes, but you have to sometimes pare down, and you've got to have a simpler meal. And here it Solomon contrasts the home of the person that has a simple meal with the people that have extravagant meals or larger meals, and he contrasts not only the meals but also the peace or the lack of peace in the home. I think that if we experience both, if we experience the lavish lifestyle that is ungodly, that I'm talking about where this house full of strife. I mean, sometimes God does bless a person, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we're looking at the connection between the ungodly house, extravagance, and the strife. If a person experiences both of these extremes, I think that they would come to the understanding that it is better to have that quietness therewith. A dry morsel with quietness. Another familiar verse, Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. It's better to have that simple meal with herbs. And I think that's kind of basically saying that it's a meal that doesn't have a whole lot of meat in it. It might not even have any meat at all. It's just a garden herbs. And it's Solomon says there in Proverbs 15:17 that it's better to have that dinner of herbs than to have the ox in the barn, a symbol of wealth, and hatred therewith. Psalms 37:16 says, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of the wicked, of many wicked, many wicked. I think one of the areas that we have to be so careful on it is the area of lust, wanting to have more, wanting to have bigger, better. Satan's always dangling this world. Just as he dangled this world in front of Christ and said, "If you'll bow down to me, I'll make you the master of it. I'll give you these kingdoms." And Satan's always tempting us with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And we have to recognize that it does not fulfill. A person might think that having riches is better, but unless they're riches that God has given, they're not better. When we think about the quietness that they're with in verse 1, I think we're talking about the unpleasant drama. People fighting. People yelling and screaming at each other. All that drama. I do not like drama from that perspective. I like a good drama. But not this kind of drama where there's fighting and quite often movies make it look good, but it's not. It's not good at all. So a home where those living there love the Lord and each other is a home that we should be seeking for. We can suffice with the dry morsel. But what does it mean by this house full of sacrifices? I think there's at least two thoughts to consider here. The sacrifices. I think of a home that has an outward sign of religiosity, where they're very religious. There are so many in this world that outwardly they have all the signs and symptoms of being religious, but inwardly there's strife, there's envying, there's the works of the flesh. So you've got this house full of sacrifices. So they're doing sacrifices over and over. And maybe you could look at it from the perspective of that they do wickedness and they say, "Okay, we'll make up for it. We'll do a sacrifice. They do more wickedness. Okay, no problem. We've got more lambs. We've got more oxen. We can do more sacrifices." And what did the Lord tell Saul by way of Samuel? He said that he values obedience rather than the sacrifices. Obedience. So you got this one extreme where they're offering up lots of sacrifices. Now, along with sacrifices, here's the other thought. One, you've got the affluence of this home, the outward religiosity, which is really is a good measure of hypocrisy there. If there's strife going on at the same time, there's something wrong with that picture. So you got that outward religiosity, but then another thing is to consider is the affluence of this home, a home with many sacrifices, as we read here. A house full of sacrifices. Well, you have to remember, in the Old Testament times, they had five Levitical sacrifices. We looked some months back at this. They had the burnt offering. They had the grain offering. They had the sin offering. They had the trespass offering, and then they had the peace offering. And the first four of those, the offerer did not partake of the sacrifice. They gave it. You think particularly of the sin offering, the trespass offering. I mean, these were things that were done because they had offended God. They had done something wrong. But the peace offering, on the other hand, there was a part that went to the people. The priests had the breasts and like the shoulders, and then the people, and the Lord had the entrails, and the people had the rest of the meat. And so a house that is full of sacrifices would also be a house that had a lot of meat. Particularly if these are peace offerings I'm talking about. And they would have a lot of meat on the table, a sign of affluence. So when we think about these two houses, the humble home in chapter 17, verse 1, where they've got the dry morsel, but they have quietness. Kind of like that, the verse that we read there earlier in Proverbs 15:7, where there's a dinner of herbs, but there's love, where love is. Peace, love. That's the kind of home I tried to build in my own home. And I did not want that home that's full of strife. So you got these two different homes. The one that on the outward exterior looks to be good. It looks like they're affluent. Sometimes people can mistake affluence for success. Having material wealth for success, but it's not true. You dig deeper and you expose it and you'll learn that it's not all that there is to be. If they have love, they got joy, they got peace, they have the fruits of the Holy Spirit in their home, that's what they need. God provides all the rest. Okay, so now let's look at the next verse here. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame. You think about in those times there, particularly in the middle class and in the upper class, the sons, they usually had a rank over the rest of the household, including even the servants. I think of our friend Mito, and you know he when you look at his age, and he's got I think four older sisters, and yet he is the oldest of the sons, and so he's the next head of that family, and it was the same sort of thing back in these times here, where a son that was wise would be given authority in the home. So but then we have the difference between the son that causeth shame. It says here that a wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. That should be a warning to everyone to not to be that son that causeth shame, but to be the wise one. And we see here even that the wise servant will have part of the inheritance among the brethren. They'll be given a chunk of the inheritance. I mean, you think about Abraham. He was talking to the Lord, and he says, "Well, I've got Eliezer from Damascus, and he's my servant. Is he going to be my heir?" And the Lord said, "No, I've got an heir for you." This Eliezer, no doubt, was a was a good man, but God gave him a legitimate offspring. Okay, next verse here. The finding pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. So we know that gold and silver, they would be refined over and over and over. And then they would be assayed to find out their value, to determine the degree of purity. And in like fashion, the Lord does that with our hearts. He refines us over and over and over, and he assays us. He looks right down into our hearts, and he tests us. He seeks to bring us to a higher level. And of course, we should never look at the trying of the Lord as a negative thing. We should be looking to let it have its perfect work, as the Lord talks about in the New Testament. Let's take a look at a few other verses. Proverbs 27:21, as the finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. A finding pot for silver. So the finding pot where we are examined. I think that I understand the finding pot to be it was to do with the assaying of it, to examine it, to see how pure it was. We think of Psalms 26:2, where David says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me; try my reins and my heart." And of course, we have a similar passage in Psalms 139, that prayer, that very familiar prayer in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Asking the Lord to examine us. I mean, the Lord knows everything. We know that. But the goal is that he examines us, and then he gives us our report card. That he shows us what we're doing that's wrong. And we have to be willing to do that. You know, it's like on a job. If we're working for somebody, whether it be a boss or whether we are kind of our own boss and we're self-employed, and you know, where we would say to the person, "It does this work meet your standard? Is this what you're looking for? I've done this work to the best of my ability. Is this satisfactory to you?" And you seek to know whether they are pleased with your work. And as servants of the Lord, we seek to know whether he's pleased with our work. And we've got to let him examine us and not just take the report card and stuff it somewhere and hide it. But rather that we say, "Okay, I want to see the report card. How did I do?" And we look for those areas that we're not getting A's. That we're getting B's and B minuses and C's and D's and F's. So we ask him to examine us, to try us. Another verse, similar verse, Psalm 66:10, "For thou, O Lord, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." I'd like to learn a little bit more about the process of trying silver, but I understand it's some sort of crucibles that they would put it in, and I don't know the actual method, particularly in those days, of how that they tested it. As they would test silver and gold, so also God tests us. Isaiah 48:10 says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." The Lord puts us through the furnace of affliction. And, you know, when afflictions and tribulations come, we can't We can't be disappointed. We cannot be discouraged. We have to say, okay, Lord, so we're going to the next level, Lord. What do I need to learn from this experience? One last verse here. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Not only does he try us, not only does he give us the report card to show us what to do, but he gives us fruits, the rewards, according to our ways. And this afternoon, we'll be looking at rewards, fruits, out of 1 Peter chapter 1. Okay, well, let's close with a word of prayer here. Dear Father, we come before you and we pray that you'd help each one of us to value the dry morsel more than the house that's full of sacrifices but has strife in it. Lord, help us to value a right relationship with you, right relationship with each other, more than affluence, more than anything else, Lord. We pray that we would be a wise servant for you, Lord, that we would not cause shame, as we read in verse 2. Lord, we thank you that you have given us inheritance among the brethren, as the wise servant. Lord, we think of the finding pot for purifying and the furnace for purifying and assaying us. We pray that each one of us would be prepared and ready to be assayed, to be tested, to be given our report card, Lord, so that we can improve the next semester, try to improve our grades each semester until you take us home to be with you. And Lord, as we have seen some of these verses, Lord, that there's fruits, there's rewards that come with it. Lord, we pray that you would help us to keep that in mind as well. Lord, we pray that you'd go before us into our morning worship service. We ask that if there be any that are still traveling, we ask that you give them safety on the roads. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.